Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Criminal Assets Bureau carried out over 20 searches across Donegal and Dublin. The school dentist in Moville will close its doors for good today. Leaders' questions in the Dáil resulted in Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty and Housing Minister Dara O'Brien coming to blows, and election posters of Councillor Frank McBrearty and the door of his family business have been vandalised, branded with the word killer. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest in sport, and Donal Kavanagh brings a special wrap report following today's Leopard Stranorder, a local election debate. Chris Ashmore has farming news and views. The Criminal Assets Bureau carried out over 20 searches across Donegal and Dublin. It's part of a major investigation into an international drug trafficking gang. Stephanie Roan has more.
This criminal gang deals drugs here, along with Scotland, Spain and the United Arab Emirates. 23 searches in total were carried out yesterday in West Dublin and Milford in Donegal. 70 members of the Gardaí and Criminal Assets Bureau were involved and targeted homes and businesses in the regions. They found a high-end car and froze €73,000 in a bank account. Phones, laptops and financial documents were also seized. The operation was mainly targeted at the unexplained wealth of people, which was derived in whole or partly from the proceeds of crime.
The school dentist in Moville will close its doors for good today. The service ran on a two-day-a-week basis. However, parents will now have to bring their children to Buncrana for appointments moving forward. Local councillor Martin Farn says the news has come as a shock to the local community and that he, as a representative, was not informed. He says Buncrana is too far away to expect people to travel for dental care.
Brought to my attention there just yesterday evening, I got an email from a very concerned and angry parent, and a number of other parents have mentioned to me this morning that today was actually the last day that the Moville school dentist would be in the health centre in Moville, that in future children would have to travel to Buncrana, and I just think that's completely outrageous that should happen. I can't understand it at all. I mean, they're expecting children, parents with children, to travel to Buncrana, a 60-mile round trip to bring their child to see the dentist. You know, that means basically taking their child off school for a whole day, and also the parents obviously having to take them there as well. So I did get in touch with the HSE there, and my understanding is they're having difficulty with not having just the right a number of dentists throughout the county to deal with the with all the children and all the services.
It's really come out of the blue for parents and for yourself. And as well, there's the question of will the Buncrana service be able to cope with this sudden influx now of children who need to get their teeth seen to?
Well, no, that's a question. I mean, some of the decisions that, in my opinion, that the HSE come up with, you know, are far-reaching, and I just find it very, very difficult. I don't know if that'll be the case.
Well, the news comes just after one day Deputy Thomas Pringle called on the government to establish a dental school in the northwest. He believes by offering more facilities to train students to become dentists, the shortage of those in the profession can be alleviated, and that the ATU is the prime location to roll out such a course.
We just have two dental schools in UCC and Trinity, producing just 80 dentists a year, approximately 50% of whom originate from the Far East in Canada, and who leave Ireland to return home once they graduate. Given the fact that we require at least 500 dentists immediately to deal with the backlog of people awaiting appointments, treatments and screening, it is clear that something more needs to be done, and done now. I understand that there were plans for a new dental school which has been paused due to funding constraints. Funding for this school needs to be prioritised, but the government should also be looking at funding more dental schools throughout the country given this dental crisis. I would urge the government to consider funding for a dental school in the northwest. There is no way that we can address the severe recruitment and retention issues in the public dental sector, particularly in rural areas, without the establishment of a dental school in the northwest. ATU has successfully launched many new courses for students since its establishment 2 years ago, and it has made education so much more accessible for many in the west of Ireland. ATU should be supported in establishing a dental school to address the significant staff shortages and clinical closures that we are seeing throughout the northwest, and to help alleviate the current burden on the public dental service. 27% of public service dentists are now aged over the age of 55 and close to retirement. And the government needs to take drastic action and consider the solutions put forward by the opposition today, but also, and the government has to make more places available and make more schools actually providing dentistry treatment, because the reality is that it's only the elite that can get in there because there's so few places. And by having more places, you get more dentists.
Leaders' questions in the Dáil this afternoon resulted in Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty and Housing Minister Dara O'Brien coming to blows. It was in a row over housing. Sinn Féin hit out at the government's record on housing following the publication of the damning Housing Commission report. It found a radical reset is needed in policy and points to ineffective decision making. Minister O'Brien was challenged by Deputy Doherty on Fianna Fáil's previous commitment to build 50,000 houses.
Where the hell is the 50,000 homes, Dara, that you promised would be delivered if you're in government? You're the Minister for Housing. 50,000 homes you promised would be delivered at prices between 160,000 and 250,000. A week on, we can't find any of them. Not one of them, Dara. 50,000 homes that you promised to deliver. So I asked you a simple question. Will you schedule a debate to actually deal with the criticism of the Housing Commission on your own record? It is a radical reset that we need. And the only way we'll get a radical reset is when we put Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael out of government. That's when we will deliver, turn the tide on housing.
Now that we're on first-name terms, Pierce, OK, I'll come back to you on that. I'll debate you up and down, left, right and centre on housing.
Really?
Because we have a plan that's being... look, here, hold on. Would you stop? Stop. Look, if you had a plan that one could debate and analyse, you might ask your housing spokesperson, why did he say publicly that over 14 months ago we would publish the Sinn Féin housing plan and he has not done so yet? Yeah. What would you replace the supports that we've brought in for first-time buyers, where we're seeing the highest number of first...
This is leaders' questions. If he's want to take over the opposition, we'll happily go over there and you can ask us the questions. But please answer the questions. It's leaders' questions.
The election posters of Councillor Frank McBrearty Jr. and the door of the family's business has been vandalised, branded with the word killer. One poster seen Councillor McBrearty's image defaced, and another had profanity spray painted across the board in red writing. Gardaí say an investigation is ongoing into criminal damage in RFO, but no arrests have been made to date. An investigation is ongoing into a major fish kill that has seen over 300 fish dead in a tributary of the River Finn near Killigordon. Lochs Agency CEO Sharon McMahon said in a statement that not all of the dead fish have been retrieved as of yet, but those gathered so far include brown trout, juvenile brown trout, stone loach, eel and sticklebacks. She added that the source of the pollution to blame is yet to be discovered and that the pollution duties in the area will be concentrated in a bid to monitor the situation. The expenses allowance given to international protection applicants in Ireland is to be means tested from next month. The new advice issued by government has detailed the plans amid concerns in government that some asylum seekers in employment are still claiming the allowances. Barry White has more.
The payment known as the Daily Expenses Allowance, which is paid on a weekly basis, is currently set at a rate of €38 per week for an adult, while an increased rate of €113 per week for an adult applies, where a person is undocumented and is on a waiting list for IPASS accommodation. However, new advice on gov.ie says an income assessment is being introduced and the daily expenses allowance payment will cease where a person has income of more than €125 per week for a combined total of 12 weeks or more. The Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, says that the Comptroller and Auditor General recommended that the payment be means tested.
Education Minister Norma Foley's in Donegal today for a series of engagements in Inishowen and Letterkenny. Minister Foley was also in Buncrana last night, where she was briefed on the ongoing campaign for a three-campus school in the town. On today's 9 till noon show, Minister Foley said there's a number of ongoing or pending projects in Donegal, where over €120 million has been spent on education in the past 3 years.
Last night I was in Scoilvoira, and this is a school who has recently received a very significant extension of a three science lab, home economics room, DCG lab, and four classroom SEN based. And I also met with representatives from the three school campus at Cranach College, which has received the green light from the department. This morning I'm going to Scoil Isagon, who have also received the letter of intent to proceed to construction. Then, of course, you know, we've Moville Community College, which is going to construction, and also Moville Gaelscoil.
Well, this morning, Minister Foley announced that St Francis' National School in Barnes Moor is to receive a new extension. School Colm Killia in Letterkenny is to receive a new modular extension, which will include specialist facilities for pupils with autism. The chairperson of the Board of Management is Pascal Blake, himself a past pupil of the school. He says it's a major step forward for the school and for the town.
There has been a sanction for two special classes for autism, a sensory room, a small soft play space, and an additional mainstream classroom and three support rooms. They will be a modular build on a permanent basis.
This comes not very long after the new school was finished, so it does show the level and extent to which Scoil Colm Killia is growing.
Oh, yeah, very much, Donal. The increase in the role has got very big, and the demand is there. And I would like to congratulate the principal and the staff and my colleagues on the Board of Management. We've worked very hard to get this, and it's of great news for Scoil Colm Killia and the town of Letterkenny.
Traditionally in Letterkenny, the school would have been called the Boys' School, but some years ago it went co-educational. This would seem to suggest that was a major success.
I went to the school myself in Scoil Colm Killia days, and as you say, Donal, the old boys' school, it's come a long way now, and the population has increased, and that would be an indication of the mix of the children at the school.
Well, the time is now coming up to 12 minutes past five. We'll be back with sport after this short break. It's 5:15. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Anna Marie. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. And just hours into the job, Julian Lopetegui is facing his first crisis as West Ham manager. The English FA have charged Hammers midfielder Lucas Paqueta with intentionally trying to get booked to affect the betting market. It's alleged Paqueta broke the rules in four separate fixtures between November of 2022 and August of 2023. The Brazilian denies the charges. Lopetegui today signed a two-year contract to replace David Moyes as West Ham manager. He has not managed since leaving Wolves last August and says a singular focus is the best way to approach his new challenge.
You have to choose one way to win, and or you have to believe in one way to work every day that is going to be help more you to win. And this is that we are going to develop our idea to translate to the players how we can improve individually, collectively, and to be able to be better and better. This is the only thing and the only way that I understand my work.
Vincent Kompany has reportedly been offered a three-year deal to become the new head coach at Bayern Munich. However, it's believed his current club, Burnley, are holding out for a €20 million compensation package. Burnley was just Kompany's second management job, and they won just five games this season as they were relegated. Meanwhile, Chelsea are expected to appoint a new head coach by the end of next week. Brentford boss Thomas Frank, Leicester's Enzo Maresca and Ipswich manager Kieran McKenna, who is of course from County Fermanagh, are thought to be the leading three candidates to replace Mauricio Pochettino. Waterford have the chance to return to fourth in the SSE Airtricity Premier Division tonight. Keith Long's side welcomed Drogheda United to the RSC, where kickoff is at 7:45. In GAA, Tyrone's Shea O'Hare has been named the Airgrid Under 20 Player of the Year. The Ardbow defender was a hugely important cog in Tyrone's journey to a second All-Ireland Under 20 title in 3 years as they overcame Kerry last weekend. There are high hopes that the Ardbow man will make it at senior level and could go straight into the Tyrone senior squad to face Donegal this weekend. In cycling, Conn McDumphy won today's second stage of the Ras Tailteann from Kanturk to Sneem. The Skyline Cadence rider was 30 seconds clear of Team Ireland's Liam O'Brien. O'Brien now holds the white jersey in the under 23 category as he has overtaken Donegal's Oran Dugan. Dom Jackson leads on general classification. In darts, the Premier League concludes at London's O2 Arena tonight, with the semi-finals and final taking place. 17-year-old Luke Littler plays Michael Smith, and world champion Luke Humphreys faces Michael van Gerwen. The two winners will then contest the decider, which is the best of 21 legs. And finally, tonight on The Score, Oisin Kelly is joined by Keith Cowan to look ahead to Friday's action in the SSE Airtricity League for Finn Harps and Derry City. The All-Ireland Championship is up and running. We'll get the thoughts of Michael McMullen of the Gaelic Life on his native Derry and a preview of Donegal's battle with Tyrone. That's all on The Score programme later, just after the 7 o'clock news. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Mark. Well, Highland Radio continued the local election debates today, featuring candidates from the Lifford Stranorler electoral area. Five candidates joined Greg Hugh on this morning's 9 till noon show. Donal Kavanagh has the special report.
Enthused Rebecca McDade said she wants to make sure planned streetscape works in the twin towns do not compromise local businesses.
The most important thing that we have to think about is the business people and how we're going to work the infrastructure around that. There's a car park there beside McLehinney's. It's my belief that within the council that they want to change that for a seating area. And I think that that would take away from the business people. We know how important it is for parking beside your business for every age group. And all of those range of businesses that's there, they need people to get quick access. And I'm sure that there will be other alternatives.
Fine Gael's Garvin Connolly said many people are having difficulty accessing services, and he wants to ensure that people can easily identify and secure the help and information they need.
Now, I've worked in the farming sector and as a farm advisor and community development over the last 22 years. And one of the things that I would have seen was the lack of services and the lack of signposting through the various organisations. And it was one of the reasons I actually wanted to stand here, was to help keep people on the ground to source information and services and to help them in terms of local services what's available to them and how to maybe increase those services locally.
Tony McDade, who previously served on Donegal County Council, said he wants to secure meaningful change, and he believes that can only be achieved through his party, Sinn Féin.
I've been a Republican activist. I worked in Lifford Clonmany Resource Centre, a community development project. I moved on then to work as project coordinator in Rafoe Family Resource Centre for almost 20 years. So I've had over 40 years' experience in community development and early intervention and prevention and family support. I was previously elected to Donegal County Council in 2004 to represent the people of the Letterkenny electoral area. And I'm standing this time because, like many others, I want to see change, and I believe only Sinn Féin can deliver that change.
Independent Councillor Frank McBrearty Jr. stressed the need for a judicial review of the defective block scheme and said he wants to hold officials in Lifford to account.
I've been an independent councillor now for 11 years out of the 15 on Donegal County Council. I am the only frank and honest independent voice on Donegal County Council that will hold the council executive to account, and power sharing agreement in Donegal County Council that does not hold that council executive to account. And that's what I stand for, is the rights of the people.
Charles Ward of the 100% Redress Party said the defective block scheme isn't working, and he believes political pressure from the ground up is the only way that that will be achieved.
I am affected by defective concrete. We have a home that we built in 2003. It's ruined. We have four kids. We are not getting any help from anybody. There's a scheme in place that's a scam. We've had enough. I believe that the 100% Redress Party are the party that people need to give the number one vote to. We need representation in Lifford, and we need to get rid of what I consider a boys' club down there.
Fianna Fáil councillor Jerry Crawford and independent Niall McConnell were invited but didn't attend today's debate. And you can watch all the proceedings on our website, highlandradio.com.
And the latest of the European election debates got underway on our website this afternoon. Playback for both debates can be found on highlandradio.com. Looking now to weather, it'll be cloudy tonight with patches of outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Lowest temperatures of 7 to 9 degrees in light northwest winds. To conclude this evening's news, the Criminal Assets Bureau carried out over 20 searches across Donegal and Dublin. The school dentist in Mobile will close its doors for good today. Leaders' questions in the Dáil resulted in Donegal Deputy Pearse Doherty and Housing Minister Dara O'Brien coming to blows, and the election posters of Councillor Frank McBrearty Jr. and the doors of the family's business has been vandalised, branded with the word killer. That's all for now. We'll be back again at 6 o'clock. Chris Ashmore has farming news and views after the obituary notices.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, May 23rd. The death has occurred of Thomas Tommy Flannery, Balnamore, County Leitrim, and formerly Ardun Glenties. Tommy's remains will repose at Shovlin's Funeral Home, Sandfield, Ardra, today until 7 p.m, followed by removal to Vincent and Mairead Cranley's home for family and close friends. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St. Connell's Church, Glenties, followed by cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, at 4 p.m. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, house private on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Kathleen Porter, 13 Hillcrest, Ardravan, Bunkrana. Remains reposing at her residence from 6 p.m. today. Funeral from there on Saturday at 9:15 a.m, going to St. Mary's Oratory for 10 a.m. Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in Cockhill Cemetery. House private from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, donations if desired to the Irish Alzheimer's Society, care of any family member. Funeral Mass can be viewed online at churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Paddy Kavanagh, Clondalkin, Dublin, formerly of Moville, reposing at the Brian McElroy Funeral Home, Clondalkin Village, tomorrow from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Funeral Mass on Saturday afternoon at 12:30 p.m. in Church of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Rowlah, followed by cremation in Newlands Cross Crematorium, arriving at approximately 2 p.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to a charity of your choice. A service to celebrate Paddy's life will be held in Moville at a later date. Paddy's funeral mass can be viewed at churchmedia.tv. The death has taken place of Patsy O'Neill, 21 Greenwalk, Craigan, Derry. Patsy's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral leaving there tomorrow at 9:20 a.m. to St. Mary's Church, Craigan, for Requiem Mass at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the city cemetery. The death has occurred of Josephine Tulip McCrory, Nee Bryson, Skelpie, Castlefin, reposing at the family home. Funeral from there tomorrow at 12:10 p.m. for Requiem Mass at 12:30 p.m. in St. Columba's Church, Donnyloop. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. tonight. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to St. Vincent de Paul, Castlefin, care of any family member, or Charles Lynch, Funeral Director, Castledirk. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. A number of roadshows geared towards demonstrating how farmers, businesses and households can save money and create a new income stream through renewable energy were hosted recently by the Irish Farmers Journal in a number of locations. Newton Cunningham farmer Stephen Robb is the renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and I caught up with him to find out about the opportunities that are clearly out there at the moment. And I began by asking him just what sort of feedback had there been from the roadshows.
Yeah, Chris, they've been phenomenal, to be honest with you. Over the month of April, we travelled from Cork to Kilkenny, up to Cavan and down to Athlone again. We held a series of information events in the evening, 2 to 3 hours long, where we went through, I guess, the kind of latest updates and policy and grant information on a range of technologies for farmers. So that was solar PV, it was anaerobic digestion, it was retrofit options for your house, and it was biomass and heat. And look, the response was absolutely phenomenal. Across the four events, there were over 1,700 people, mostly farmers, who came to these events. And I guess it just proves that there's a real hunger for knowledge out there, there's a real appetite for renewables out there amongst farmers. And I suppose that was... Like you had farmers who attended who were maybe, you know, intensive energy users, like, you know, a lot of dairy farmers, some pig farmers, poultry farmers. But then you would have had farmers who were, I suppose, less intensive, but were looking for something else, looking to diversify, looking for other options to generate income. And, you know, those were a lot of the dry stock farmers and tillage farmers. We were absolutely blown away. And as I said, it just really shows the appetite that was out there, Chris.
Yeah. Is it inevitable that pretty much every farmer will have some sort of renewable energy source in some shape or form?
I think so. Yeah, I think by 2030 it's safe to say that, and it's going to be solar PV. The solar PV is going to be the most widespread and applicable renewable technology on Irish farms, homes, and businesses. And look, that didn't happen by accident. That's being orchestrated by the government. They've made it very easy to install solar PV on households now. There's and farms, as you say. There's really good grants in place at the moment for farmers, up to 60% three times. You don't have to apply for planning permission in the vast majority of cases. There's a really well-developed supply chain at the moment, and there's plenty of suppliers. If you're a farmer, you can avail of accelerated capital allowances. And I suppose most of all, those combination of factors will result in payback periods of anywhere between 2-3, maybe 5 years or so, depending on the farm's energy use. So, look, I think, and that was certainly the feedback from the Renewables Roadshow, Chris, that solar PV was, where the real interest was amongst farmers, and that's for all those reasons that I outlined.
Yeah. Now, just to explain, when people mention solar, I suppose traditionally there's a perception out there, that's going to be grand in Cork and Kerry and Wexford.
Yeah, look, I suppose you are going to see you're going to see a quicker return on investment in the sunny southeast compared to Midlands, and even more so compared to the northwest. But does that mean that investment in solar PV doesn't stack up here? Absolutely not. You might just push it out. The investment might be pushed out another year or so. That's for rooftop solar, but even in terms of commercial solar farms. There's a solar farm past here in Donegal, and I know that there are more in development. So just because we're in a slightly greyer northwest doesn't mean that there isn't investment going on in solar PV at the moment.
And are we going to see solar farms with several acres being developed in the northwest? I see there down in County Meath there's an 180 acre solar farm in process in the pipeline. Can we see commercial-sized solar farms up here?
Yeah, that was another hot topic now at the road shows, is the whole area of solar farms. So we really are seeing a solar farm boom around the country at the moment, largely concentrated along the east and the south, and that's because of, number one, it's sunny. Number two, they have really good grid access and grid infrastructure and grid capacity down there. And number three, they have the geography or the topography and the feed structure and feed layout, because typically a developer, solar farm developer, will look for blocks of 200 acres plus made up by multiple farmers in the area, and they'll lease that land off them for maybe 30 to 40 years or so. What's the going rate for farmers? Typically around 1,100 to 1,200 euro per acre per year for 30 years. So there is quite a bit of interest in it from landowners. Will we see the same development up here in Donegal? Look, we're not going to see it, Chris, to be straight with you. Yet there is at least one large-scale solar farm through planning up here in Donegal, and there are more in development, but it's going to be very limited. And it's not so much to do with our topography or even the sunniness of Donegal. It's actually to do with the grid. Our grid is really saturated up here in Donegal, and there are no significant development works in the pipeline that's going to free up our grid capacity, and that's going to be one of the biggest problems for Donegal developers and indeed Donegal farmers who might want to develop an export-led project. It's just our grid capacity, it's just congested, which is again a big problem for us up here.
Now, another area that's going to see a lot of investment in the years to come is the whole area of anaerobic digestion. So perhaps just first of all explain exactly what it is in a nutshell.
Yeah, so anaerobic digestion, Chris, it's a completely natural process whereby organic material, any organic material, is broken down by microorganisms in the absence of oxygen. And this whole process can be controlled in purpose-built, sealed metal or concrete tanks called anaerobic digestion plants. And when the microorganisms break down the organic material, it releases gas, and this gas is called biogas. Biogas consists on average of about 55% methane, 40% CO2 and 5% other gases. So you can take that methane and you can use it as a renewable replacement for natural gas. And you can even take the CO2 and capture it and use it as a renewable replacement for CO2, you know, in your fizzy drinks, for example. The government, as we've talked about before in your show, Chris, the government have really, really big targets for anaerobic digestion in Ireland, to develop these anaerobic digestion plants, to develop a network of anywhere from 140 to 200 of them around the country. You know, there's only, what, three operational plants around the country at the moment producing biomethane. So, you know, the job is massive. And indeed, there are a number... In fact, there's a number either in operation or in construction or going through planning up here in Donegal. So it's a technology that is going to become a lot more common around the country, but it's certainly not without its challenges.
Finally, Stephen, biomass. Many people may not be aware that this is a fuel that's perhaps used in more quantities than many realise, even here in Donegal.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. So again, one of the standout comments for me from the roadshow was from Sean Finan, the CEO of the Bioenergy Association, who said that biomass was the poor cousin to electrification in terms of heat. And I think that's true enough, because like there is a real emphasis on electrifying everything, on electrifying your household heat, on installing heat pumps, etc. But biomass is another sustainable, quite popular alternative. So in other words, you install a biomass boiler, which you can supply wood pellets or wood chips to, ideally locally grown and locally sourced. And as you said, yeah, look, there are a number of hotels around Letterkenny. There are a number of leisure centres around Donegal that are using biomass at the moment to produce renewable heat. I suppose what's probably not known, Chris, widely known anyway, is that there's a 300 million euro scheme active at the moment for businesses and farms to switch to biomass, and there's only 20 million of it allocated. So in other words, there's 280 million euro there waiting to pay farmers and businesses to switch over to biomass and to actually pay them for producing heat until they recoup their investment. So, you know, that scheme is there, and we focused heavily on that on at the roadshow to try and show people that this is live, this is active, and look, it's there for the taking.
And that was Stephen Robb, renewables editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.